Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The basis of our meditation is the gospel lesson. You may be seated. This rather well-known pericope continues the Epiphany theme by revealing Jesus as the one who fulfills all of the Old Testament prophecies about the coming of the Messiah. It is clear from the text that Mark alludes to the prophecy read earlier in this service from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. We clearly see in this pericope the fulfillment of these words of the prophet Isaiah. And the response of the people was understandable, given what they had witnessed. It is reasonable to believe that they were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. When I first read this pericope, I was tempted to deduce from the exclamations of the people that this was a declaration of faith in Jesus as the Messiah, as the Savior of the world. But as I continued to study this text, I began to believe that my Lutheran presuppositions were reading into the text something that was not there. Jesus was traveling along the geographic edge of the nation of Israel. He was in the region of the Decapolis, along the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee. This was an area populated by Jews and Gentiles alike. Perhaps, just perhaps, it is that these people were honestly reporting and responding to what they had observed. We learn from the parallel to this text in Matthew's gospel that great crowds came to Jesus, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed, and they praised the God of Israel. Well, they praised the God of Israel, but did they see Jesus as the incarnate Son of God? Could it be that in this text, Mark, in our pericope, was preparing for an even greater confession of faith? In Mark's gospel, we see a certain pattern leading to Peter's confession. In the 6th and 7th chapters of Mark, Jesus feeds the 5,000. Then he challenges the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law by saying, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites." And third, we read of the faith of the Syrophoenician woman, and then the healing of the deaf mute with the confession, "He has done everything well." But in the 8th chapter of Mark, Jesus feeds the 4,000. And then he challenges the Pharisees again, saying to his disciples, "Be careful, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." And then he heals the blind man at Bethsaida, and then Peter makes the ultimate confession of faith, "You are the Christ." That rather general confession, "He does all things well," becomes the very specific confession of faith that Jesus is the Christ. I remember well a time on television when a commentator made a remark about the ministry of Jesus. He commented on the goodness of Jesus and he said, "Well, after all, didn't Jesus come to show us how to live?" Of course, you and I would answer with a resounding no. He came because it was impossible for us to live the life that he could live. He came to live that life in our place. Jesus did not come to show us how to live. He came to live for us and to be our Savior. Many people look at the ministry of Jesus and say, "He has done everything well." But what they see are his deeds of mercy. What they comprehend is that people have been healed. What they observe are his deeds of compassion. They understand the life and ministry of Jesus as a philosophical system of being good, living a moral and upright life. But when these observations about Jesus' ministry are not connected to Peter's confession, they are words that miss the true meaning of Jesus' incarnation. How often people confuse the earthly healing ministry of Jesus with his greatest healing. How easy it is to focus on the things of this world and overlook the truly great work of Jesus. It is so tempting to reduce the ministry of Jesus to an exclamation, "He does all things well," meaning that he has impacted our earthly existence in a significant manner. But how important it is for us to focus in on that word of God and use that word of God to guide people into a meaningful expression of what it means to believe in Jesus. How important it is for us to guide people from seeing the ministry of Jesus as an opportunity to be just involved in doing all things well, to making the greatest confession of faith possible. You are the Christ. What a great blessing it is to be a shepherd of the flock of Jesus Christ and to lead people to make that confession. What a great honor it is to guide people into the word of life, where they see with the eyes of faith and where with their lips they make a confession of that faith. Yes, Jesus has done everything well, including the atonement. And this day, you and I will experience the assurance of Christ's atoning work as we receive his very body and blood for the strengthening of our faith and for the forgiveness of our sins. As we share in the confession, "You are the Christ. You have done everything well." Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.